Hey, it's summertime. Few people are excited. Hey, so, you know, I'm a Gen X guy, so, like, I'm thinking Will Smith right now, you know? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Summertime, you know? Top 10 reasons I love the summer. Here we go. Number 10, grilled chicken. I love grilled marinated chicken, right? Chicken's okay, but when it's on the grill, man, and you know how to marinate it well, it's got to be 24 hours. I would suggest Ken's balsamic vinaigrette, all right? You'll thank me later. Write it down. Ken's Steakhouse balsamic vinaigrette, 24 hours, throw it on the grill, nothing better. Number 9, no more making school lunches, right, moms? No more making the school lunches. Number 8, the pool. The pool. All right, we get to hang at the pool and be lazy. Number 7, late nights, stress-free mornings, right? I'm getting stressed out thinking about those stressful mornings, you know? Late nights, stress-free mornings. Number 6, picnics in parks. Number 5, no homework, right? No school projects. Number 4, quality family time. Number 3, 4th of July. Number 2, we get to travel. Number 1, garden vegetables. Notice a lot of these are food, you know, shocker, right? Now, I love the summer. I love the summer. And there's no season, in my opinion, that's better. However, if we aren't careful, the things that we love about the summer can cause us to lose momentum when it comes to the mission. What's the mission at Vertical Church? Making disciples who love, live, and lead like Jesus. That's why we exist. That's what we're all about here. To make disciples who love, live, and lead like Jesus. And if we're not careful, the summer can cause us to grow a little bit lazy when it comes to the mission. So right now, before we get into the summer fun, because I know probably starting next weekend, everybody's going to kind of scatter a little bit, and we're going to be missing each other for the next couple months on Sunday mornings. But before we get into the summer fun, it would be wise, really, for myself and for each of us that call Vertical Church home, it would be wise for all of us to make some decisions so that we don't waste our summer. We don't want to waste our summer. That's the sermon title. It's on the screen. Don't waste your summer. Simply put, don't waste your summer. You're going to look back in about 3 or 4 months, and you're going to be like, wow, that was fast. That was quick. And the question that you need to be asking yourself as you go into the summer is, how am I going to make much of my summer for my Savior? How am I going to make much of my summer for the Savior? So today we're going to hit pause on our New You sermon series from Romans 8. And really, it's kind of like, it's not directly out of Romans 8, but I said last week in Romans 8, we have a new you because of the Spirit that lives inside of you. If you know Jesus Christ, you're new because of the Holy Spirit. 17 times in Romans chapter 8, in 27, or in, 32 verses, the Spirit is mentioned. The Spirit is mentioned. And today, I don't know if you're aware of this, but today is, what Sunday is it today? It's Pentecost Sunday. Now, I grew up in an environment where, in a lot of ways, it was a good environment, good Bible teaching, but I think they forgot who the third person of the Godhead was. Like, we would make reference to the Holy Spirit, but we would not value the Holy Spirit the same way we value God the Father, who called us and chose us for our salvation. And we didn't value him the same way that we appreciate our Savior, who accomplished our salvation. But listen, Christian, now you have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living inside of you. He's the one that gives you the new you. But for some reason, oftentimes in conservative Bible teaching churches, we diminish his role. We diminish his role. And so really, when you're a church planter and you get to plan the sermon calendar, it's like, we're going to make much of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. Because why are we going to make much of it? Because, again, God is faithful to his promise, right? That's why we're making much of it. Why do we make much of Easter? Because Jesus Christ defeated the grave for us. He fulfilled the promise that the prophets spoke about previously, right? Well, what is today? Today, Pentecost Sunday. There was a promise made by a guy, John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 3, that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. There was a promise made by Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, two of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, how you are going to, as a new covenant believer, you're going to have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, that it gives you the power to fulfill the commands of Scripture. Left to yourself, Christian, you are powerless. You have no power. You know, we've already made reference to Will Smith and Summertime, right? I think sometimes as Christians, here's another old school, remember, I've got the power. Remember that one? I know. All right, I'm looking at AJ. He's like, oh yeah. Stay seated. Okay, stay seated. I've got the power. Right? That one, right? Yeah, we think, no, you have no power. You have zero power without the Holy Spirit. So at Vertical Church, we want to be vertical people. The only way we can be vertical people is if we incorporate some of these vertical values that we are able to live out only within the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within us. So you want to have a Spirit-filled, or I guess you want to accomplish the mission this summer? Here's the big idea if you're a note taker. Make the decision to do Spirit-filled mission. Make the decision to do Spirit-filled mission. The six decisions you must make if you're going to do Spirit-filled mission, they are, as I said before, the six values at Vertical Church. If you live out these vertical values this summer, and I'm really challenging you with this, live these values out this summer. If you do, you will make quality disciples who love, live, and lead like Jesus in your home, mom and dad. You will. You will make quality disciples at the pool, at work, wherever God places you this summer. And I can say that with confidence. And the reason why I can say it with confidence is because it happened in Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as many had need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Now, before we jump into the passage, let me give you some background information. After Jesus died and was resurrected, he spent how many days on earth? Do you remember? A little Bible trivia. How many days did Jesus spend on earth after he died and was resurrected? 40. Oh, man. Ooh. All right. 40 days on the earth, and he explained to his disciples what they were, that they were going to finish, really, what he started. They were going to build his kingdom. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit will empower them to be witnesses. Remember, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit will empower you to accomplish this mission. Now, after Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, I think it's verse 10, he tells them, you're going to get power for the mission. He ascends into heaven. What do the 120 disciples do? Do you remember? Where do they go? They go back to Jerusalem. This is significant because Jerusalem was the place where Jesus suffered, right? Jerusalem was the place where they had like the signs looking for 12 or 11 guys. They were going to back to the place where they were going to experience persecution. However, they made the decision, they were going to go back to Jerusalem. They go back to Jerusalem and they gather in an upper room. They do what Christ told them to do. He said, go back to an upper room and just wait. Wait for the promise of the Spirit. And in the waiting, what were they doing? In the waiting, you remember what they were doing for 10 days straight? What were they doing? They were praying. Yeah. Hey, that's super important to pick up on right now. You want power? Prayer is the position of power. You want power, prayer is the position for power. We say it a lot around here. Prayer is often the unused weapon to wage war. Prayer, when we were in our Ephesians 6 series called Armor Up, we said prayer is the power behind the armor. Remember? You can be armored up, but if you're not prayed up, you have no power to accomplish the mission. And so before they get on with the mission, and before you get on with your mission this summer, you know, prayer. Prayer is key. That's what the disciples did. They go pray. And as they're praying in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, they're meeting in the upper room. The Holy Spirit, he comes in power. As I said a moment ago, it was prophesied by Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 36, John the Baptist, Matthew 3, Jesus in Acts 1:8, we already looked at that. And of course, in a plethora of other verses in Scripture. But all 120 received the Holy Spirit. Every person in the room received the Holy Spirit. Like the Spirit in you is not an extra blessing for a Christian. We all are sealed by the Spirit. And it gave them power to live out the new you and to fulfill the commission that they were given by the Christ. And so today, Pentecost Sunday, it's 50 days after Christ's death. And when Pentecost happened, here's what we must understand. Like, it was so miraculous that Luke couldn't even explain it. If you go to chapter 1 of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 of Acts, he basically, like, he didn't have the words. Have you ever been in a conversation like that where you're trying to, like, describe something, but you really can't quite put it into words with what actually was taking place or what actually happened? And, of course, those of you who are parents with young children, like you get it, because just even yesterday I was in a conversation with one of my sons. It was my youngest son. And, you know, he's still growing and he's still developing and he's trying to communicate something that was really important to him. And he just didn't quite have the words to explain it. And I was kind of like having to really listen hard and work with him. And Melissa Jardine is laughing because she's his first grade teacher. And that's like every kid in your class. I don't know, Melanie, you're preschool teacher. I don't know how you guys do it, because they're trying to communicate like something that's really important to them, and it's grabbed their attention and it means something to them, but they don't have the words to really explain it. That's Luke. He's like, this is weird. I don't know how to explain it. Something big's happening, but he tries. He's like, it was kind of like, you know, that's what Luke's saying. He's like, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind and divided tongues as fire. And that's really important. Like, he's not saying there was this nice gentle breeze that swept through the upper room. He doesn't say that. It was like the noise like a tornado. Remember a couple years ago when the tornado, we even just last year, again, we had one go through Guilford County, right through Greensboro. We had one earlier in the year. We have a bunch of kids playing, they're playing soccer outside. We had to move them inside. Next thing you know, like, the tornado landed on top of the Fox 8 building, and it went right down Business 40. It just kind of, like, passed through the church. But those of you who have ever been close to a tornado, like, it's not the sound of a gentle breeze. It sounds like a freight train, right? And what is a tornado? It's an all-consuming, unstoppable force. Like, that's the picture that Luke wants you to get. Like, this powerful force enters. And then he says it's like as if fire appeared and descended upon every single person in the room. So the imagery, this is important, the imagery that Luke is using of wind and fire, it's to show us that the Holy Spirit has come to give power to weak people. In and of yourself, you're weak, Christian. I'm weak. We're all weak. But the Holy Spirit in us gives power, both wind and fire. What are they? They are all-consuming, powerful forces of nature, and they can overcome any obstacle. I remember when I was in college and this massive hurricane hit right on the city where I attended college. And I was on the beach, panhandle of Florida. And it just, it was horrible. It destroyed the beaches. We had to travel an hour and a half to get to the beach. We had to go all the way to Alabama because it was like bullseye right on Pensacola Beach. Disrupted the beach. These $2-3 million homes just completely demolished. Torn to shreds. I remember not too long ago, I went to one of my buddies from college. I went to his house in San Diego, California, right? It was just shortly after the forest fires that were out there. And he showed me just the massive destruction and how he had to spray his house with the perimeter to keep the fires away. And I mean, these fires were destroying entire cities. Just going right through it. Like, that's the imagery that Luke is sharing with you. Nothing can stop these forces. They overtake everything in their path. And listen, Christian, the same is true when it comes to the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit can use you in a powerful way, in a way that you probably never even imagined or considered. Oftentimes, I believe, and I say this of myself, the reason why the Spirit probably doesn't use me in a way that He should is probably because I'm maybe not living a Spirit-filled life, or I'm not keeping in the Spirit. I'm trying to do things in and of my own power, because Matt McCarthy's a pretty gifted person. And Matt McCarthy likes to lean on his own personal strengths and his own personal gifts, rather than seeing where the true power comes from. Why did the Acts Church, like everyone's like, oh, we want the Acts Church, man. Be careful what you say, because then next thing you know, you're selling everything and sharing it with everybody. So you know. Be careful what you say about, we could just get back to the original church. It'll affect your wallet quite a bit. Just getting that out there. However, the Acts Church flourished because Spirit-filled people made the decision, many decisions, to get busy on the mission. And listen, I love summer. I gave you my top 10. Love the summer. But my temptation is the summer? I've even been saying to some of the guys in the office here, like, man, I just can't wait till July. I'm going on like kind of a summer preaching sabbatical, just so you know, in July. And it's like, if I can just get through July, get to July. And then in my mind, I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna relax, and I'm gonna you do you. You do what you want, right? That's what we think. No, you can't do that. It's not the mission. We need to make decisions to do Spirit-filled mission. So six summer decisions to do Spirit-filled mission right from Acts chapter 2. You know them. They're our values. Haven't talked about them lately. So let's talk about them. We want to do some serious summer ministry. Devote to unapologetic preaching. Number one, devote to unapologetic preaching. What is unapologetic preaching? Proclaiming, when we say we proclaim the authority of God's word without apology. Verse 42. Look at verse 42. It says, and they devoted themselves. Devoted. What do you devote yourself to? You devote yourself to the things that you love. The things that you're enthusiastic about. It might be a person. It might be an activity. It might be a cause. There are many things in our life that we are devoted to. There are many things that even this summer you will devote yourself to. I remember one of the things when I was in middle school. You know what I loved to do when I was in middle school? I loved to play ping pong. I was a ping pong nerd. Yeah. I was that guy that any time there was a ping pong table, I was over there. We had a ping pong table in our home. We'd come home. I'd play after school. There was a ping pong table at school. I was the guy at the ping pong table at school. Family events, sleepovers, we were playing ping pong. And then, of course, I went from middle school, grew up through high school. I think then it was probably basketball and soccer. But then in college or post-college, I remember, some of you are going to laugh at me, but I worked at a driving range just so like I could learn to swing a golf club. And you got free buckets of balls, and they actually had a golf course that you could go to for free. And every day after work, I would go play golf, or I would be at the driving range. I would play multiple times a week. There was a season in my life where I was all in with ping pong, all in with golf. And I wasn't just kind of like playing at it. I was like into it. I was devoted to it. But now, of course, I've replaced those things because there are things that are of greater value. And listen, there's nothing wrong with ping pong. There's nothing wrong with golf. There's nothing wrong with whatever hobby that you enjoy. But whatever it is that you're into, it needs to be subservient to the mission. You need to devote yourself to some things. And he says here, Acts 2:42, like this church is getting after it. And spoiler alert, verse 47 of Acts 2, it says day by day, people are being saved. Like there's an end result here. And it started with a devotion to the apostles' teaching. Now, it's interesting that scripture, it's probably on purpose that scripture is listed first, because listen, God's word has to inform everything that we do. It's got to. If you want to make disciples this summer, devote yourself to the word of God. And just super practically, because we're getting ready to scatter, let me encourage you. Listen, church family, hear me on this. We kind of lost a summer last year, didn't we? Man, I want you to rest. I want you to relax. I want you to go have fun with your family. Like, I want that for you. I want it for you. But in your going, Matthew 28, you're still to be fulfilling the mission. And devote yourself to the Word of God. I want to encourage you to put yourself in a position on Sunday morning, wherever you are, you're hearing God's Word. You hear me? When you go on vacation, go to church, hear God's word. Or tune in online, hear God's word. I want to encourage you, you want to fulfill the mission? Meditate and memorize scripture this summer. This is what it looks like to be devoted. Meditate and memorize. Study God's word. Listen, summertime is a lot more free time. It's not as crazy. We don't have all the schedules. Everything kind of shuts down a little bit. Study God's word. Like, have a specific Bible reading plan. Did you know if you read, average reader, if you read your Bible, I believe it's 11 minutes per day, you could read through the Bible in a year. It's average pace reader. Like, devote yourself to the Word of God. Have a Bible reading plan. Discuss God's Word, moms and dads, with your kids. Like, devote yourself to it. Don't let anything replace it. I already have, they're good, they're not in here. Like, well, one of them's back there. He just raised his hand, he's like, I'm here. But I've been talking to my wife about, like, I have a plan for my two oldest this summer. Our two youngest as well, but the two oldest, they're teenagers. Like, we have a plan of what they're gonna be doing with Bible reading. Listen, devote yourself to the Word of God. Number two, make the decision to do Spirit-filled mission, six summer decisions. Decision number two, devote yourself to unceasing prayer. At Vertical Church, we believe firmly in the power of prayer. And listen, what did this church do? Day by day, people are being saved. They were devoted to the word, unapologetic preaching, and then unceasing prayer. You study the book of Acts. You're going to see, when you study the book of Acts, prayer was preeminent. We want, everybody talks, listen, I'm not down in it, man. I'm the same way. Like, we talk about the Acts church and the greater things, and wow, wouldn't that be awesome? Listen, prayer preceded every powerful work of the Lord in the book of Acts. I mean, if you study Acts, they were praying in the temple, they were praying in the home, they were praying on roads. They were praying for the sick. They were praying before they even preached God's word. They were praying as they serve the Lord. I mean, you see it right here in the text in Acts chapter 2. They prayed daily. And it wasn't just corporately, like they were doing it personally. It's not an either or, it's a both and. And of course, we know the story. The Holy Spirit moved upon hearts in a powerful way. The gospel reached the end of the world. And I want to encourage you, listen, this summer, if you're in town, we're going to have some awesome corporate summer prayer gatherings that will probably include things like ice cream, because how did ice cream not make my list of the top? Oh, because I eat that all year round, that's why. Okay? Ice cream isn't a special thing for me. It's a nightly thing, pretty much. It's my vitamins, all right? Now, but we're going to have some awesome corporate worship nights. Like, we're getting, like, things are opening up. Even the governor has kind of said, hey, you don't have to wear the whole mask thing anymore, and we're still taking our time here. But in time, we're going to start opening things up just a little bit more, and we're going to get back to some of our summer worship nights. I want to encourage you to come to that if you're in town. We have organizations yesterday. How awesome was it? Yesterday at Love Life, we had 80 people from Vertical Church at that event yesterday just praying and worshiping, right? Yeah, feel free to clap for that. That was really exciting. But why were we doing that? Well, the reason why is because, as I told you last week when I was promoting this Love Life event, they shut down on Wednesday because of the local churches praying and fasting. They were losing money to open up the abortion clinic doors on Wednesday, and that's because the local church, what we did this past Sunday, was praying and fasting. Prayer is powerful, church. Prayer is powerful. Pray personally. Pray with your family. You want to make disciples this summer? Devote yourself to prayer. Third decision as you seek to do Spirit-filled mission this summer. Devote to unashamed adoration. Devote to unashamed adoration. I love this. What is unashamed adoration? It's simply, we define it this way at Vertical Church, lifting high the name of Jesus in worship. That's adoration. Lifting high the name of Jesus in worship. And it says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That's the Lord's Supper. Now think about the Lord's Supper. We practice this here, of course. It's one of the church ordinances. And what happens at the Lord's Supper? Well, before we participate in communion in the Lord's Supper, there needs to be some evaluation, right? Am I even ready to participate in this? Careful evaluation. Paul writes about that in his letter to the Corinthians. He's like, hey, make sure when you come to the table, like you're examining your own heart. There's evaluation. And then, of course, the evaluation produces confession. And then, of course, then we're ready for the act, the participation, and the reflection of, hey, here's what Christ did for me. He went to the cross and offered his body up and shed his blood so that his righteousness could be imputed to my account. And now the holy God views me through the lens of Christ's perfect righteousness that was given to me when I put my faith and trust in him alone. And his work on the cross, nothing that I do, when I put my trust in him and what he did at the cross, now I too am righteous. I have the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to my account, so now the holy God looks at me as righteous. That's what's happening at communion. Like, we're reflecting upon that. And that reflection should produce adoration. Like, wow, a holy God would send his only son, and the son would live the life that I could not live in and of my own self, so that I can have eternal life and have a seat at the king's table and be given all this new stuff that we've been talking about the last 7 weeks. New hope, new comfort, new desires, new longings. All of that because of the work of Christ. And so what the early church would do is they would daily reflect upon that truth. And when you daily reflect upon the gospel and what the gospel's done in you, like, you're going to want others to experience that gospel. Like, oh, I can help you. The new hope that I have, you can have that same new hope. You can have that same new comfort. You can have these same new longings, the new desires. You too can have all of that. And as they were breaking bread and adoring the Son for his work, it gave them the motivation to get on the mission. So I want to encourage you, every day this summer, remind yourself of the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself, right? To use, Jerry Bridges, I think he came up with that term. preach the gospel to yourself. And as you preach it to yourself, you're going to want to share it with those who God puts in your path. It goes on to say, day by day, attending the temple. I love that phrase, day by day, by the way. Because what do we do daily? Think about that. What do we do daily? Hopefully you brush your teeth daily, multiple times a day. We got to keep these things for 70, 80, 90 years, right? They're important to us, right? We floss daily. And even like, all right, let's get off the hygiene thing, right? Like, what do we do daily? You know, hey, like, I remember, you know, back in the day when I had the free summer, it's like, man, every day we were going to the park, we were playing basketball. Like, I loved basketball. It was a priority. Maybe it's golf now. I don't know what it is, but whatever is like a priority to you, you're going to find yourself doing it regularly and daily. Well, what were these guys doing every day? They were making worship a priority. They were attending the temple, the passage says. The temple was the place where Jews gathered for worship. That was the temple. They attended worship daily. And they were praising God, verse 47 says, daily. Meaning, what does it look like to praise God? Well, they were reciting his works and his attributes, and they were adoring him, kind of like what we do on Sunday morning, right before I get up here and I preach. That's what they were doing daily. They were singing, because that's what saved people do. That's kind of one of our plumb lines around here. Saved people sing. Like when we recognize what I've been rescued from, this is what happened in Exodus, right? They were rescued at the Red Sea. And so when they were rescued, what do they do immediately? They just start worshiping. And listen, when you remind yourself of the gospel, you are going to worship daily. You're going to recite his works and you're going to recite his attributes. So again, have fun this summer. Are you hearing me? I want you to have a lot of fun. I want you to have a lot of fun this summer. Dads, take your family somewhere. Get away. Have some fun. But as you're having fun, worship your heart out. When you're away in the mountains or at the beach, turn on the live stream and worship. Find a church, worship, and do it as a family. In those hours in the evening or at the breakfast table, in your daily routine, worship. You know, we say at Vertical Church, our primary mission is the next generation. Listen, if we miss it, church, if we miss it here, we can't go anywhere else until we're doing it here. Our primary mission must be the next generation, and we can't just, it's not about just once a week. It's about, yes, once a week making worship a priority, but also doing it in your home regularly and personally. Six summer decisions to do Spirit-filled mission. Number four, devote to uncommon community. I'm going to speed it up. Devote to uncommon community. It says, and all who believed were together. I love that word together because that's not often true of Christians, right? That word together means unity. And all who believed, there was unity. We say, how do you get unity? Pursue unity through humility. That's how we have unity. Pursue unity through humility. Open-handed with what I want, right? Unity through humility. This church had unity, not uniformity. And listen, unity, let's just talk about our culture for a moment. I think probably our culture today is more divided than it's ever been before. And I'm just going to talk to you, church. My concern is this, that American churches are divided more, probably more than ever before. Listen, I'm just going to go out here, and if this offends you, I'm sorry. I love you, but we're not going to be the church, you know, that's always talking about our personal convictions, and your convictions need to be my conviction about COVID or even, you know, I got to be careful because I want to get in trouble. I'm kind of getting a little bit off the notes, so I want to be careful. I want to be loving. I want to speak the truth in love. But listen, vaccines, Listen, you can have your opinion. Don't allow your opinion to be the source of division. Our culture is more divided than we've ever been before on so many things. And within the church, we should be united more than ever before. Because when we are united, that's going to be the gospel witness to the divided community. They've got something that we don't have. How can they be united even though they do have differing opinions on all these things? It's okay to have your opinion. It's okay to have your opinion. Please hear me. You can have your opinion, but we don't allow our opinions to create division. Because if there's division within the church, we can't be going out on mission. Devote to togetherness. That's uncommon community right there. John 17, high priestly prayer. It's right before he went to the cross, right? It's probably the prayer that he was praying in the garden. And he says these words, "Father, that they may be one as we are one." Because he knew, and he even says, if the world sees them as one, the kingdom's going to grow. So we want unity. And we want community. I want to encourage you, listen, church family, we do less, like it's been a sprint, May, right? May's been a sprint. We had a membership class on Friday night. Here at the church, we had like 18 people at the membership class. We have like 20-something more people signed up for the June class or planning on coming to the June class. Yeah, that's pretty cool, right? Then we had the Love Life event yesterday. And I know you have all your stuff going on at your school with programs. Some of the teachers are like, oh gosh, yep. It's been a sprint, man. And everything, we try to scale back a little bit. But listen, find ways this summer to do real-life community. Like when I say real-life community, I mean like bring people into your home and build one another up. The one another's of Scripture. Like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, that talks about building one another up in love. And comforting one another, 1 Thessalonians 4. And serving one another, 1 Peter 4, 10. And caring for one another, 1 Corinthians 12, 25. Like, do the one another's. That's uncommon community. Invite people over for the bonfire or an ice cream social. Like, do community. But don't just do community with people in your church. Do community with people in your own family. You know, my kids have a Bible reading plan, but know what else I'm doing with my kids this summer? They have to read, my oldest, they have to read 3 books. They're reading Extreme Ownership, leadership book. They're reading Money Makeover, Dave Ramsey, because they need to learn how to handle their money. They're getting older. And then they're reading the book Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. Like, we're going to read those 3 books together. And we're going to do community together. They're my boys. Like, if I'm not getting it with my kids, like I can go no further. Point being, like, jump into a community and your family must be your priority, but do it with others. Build people up, comfort, serve, disciple, grow them. And it doesn't always have to be like serious stuff. Like, we have a plan. My 2 oldest definitely want to get, they're telling me they want to get serious about soccer this summer. So I'm like, all right, we're going to get after it. We're going to do it. We're going to train together. I'm going to hold you accountable. But live life together. Listen, discipleship happens in relationship. You got to remember that. Discipleship happens in relationship. There's no discipleship without relationship. So be together. Make the decision to do Spirit-filled mission. Number 5, devote to unconditional love. What is unconditional love? What are we talking about here? Enduring in love as the foundation of all relationship. That's what we mean by that. And that's what they did in verse 45. They were selling possessions and belongings. That's why I said, be careful what you say about, hey, can't we just go back to the old Acts model of church? Selling all their possessions and belongings. And get this, it says distributing to all. To all. All is inclusive. They were seeing the needs of hurting people in the church and outside of the church. Like, hey, we're going to help you as best we can. As any had need. So my encouragement to you this summer, bless people this summer. You hear me? That's part of making disciples. You want to make disciples? You want to grow the kingdom of God? Like, bless people. Love on people. Like, even this summer, when you go on vacation, I want to encourage you, when you go on vacation and you go out to eat somewhere nice, well, you're always tipping 20%, or don't say you're a Christian, okay? Because Christians, no, I'm being serious. Christians should be the most generous people. 20%, you should be generous. The Lord's been generous to us. You should be generous. We don't do minimum stuff. We want to bless people. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of the Lord. He's blessed me beyond measure. I'm going to bless others beyond measure. And if you can't do it, go to Chick-fil-A and you don't have to tip, okay? That's your tip, all right? There it is. And Chick-fil-A's pretty good. But we bless people. We're generous to people because our Lord has been so generous to us. And I would even say this, do something crazy this summer. Do something crazy this summer with your kids. Be like, all right, I know you guys have been saving, but hey, you know, look at this young lady or this young man who's serving us, and we can tell, like, they're working really hard. Hey, what if we all pitched in an extra $10, and we took $10 of our own money to bless this server? And then we're going to pray for him after that. You know what that would do for your kids? You know what that's telling your kids? It's saying all this stuff that we cling to so much, it means nothing. Number one, and we're going to love on people, and we're going to be generous people. And I'll tell you what, that server, after you do that, and when you say, oh, hey, by the way, can we pray for you? Is there anything we can pray for? Listen, that's how we make disciples. Now we're doing something. Listen, church, to make an impact with your life, you need to love in an impactful way. You get that? To make an impact with your life, you need to love in an impactful way. Don't just throw out the words, I love you. Love is a verb. Love in an impactful way. And I'll say this, generosity leads to multiplied opportunity. I believe it. We don't preach a prosperity gospel here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap. The word is bountifully, just so you know. We get so nervous. Oh, is that prosperity gospel? No, that's just God's word telling you that you will reap bountifully. And we don't know if we'll be here or there. But generosity leads to multiplied opportunity. Last but not least, sixth decision. We're going to wrap it up. Worship team can come. Unafraid witness. Sharing the good news of Jesus with boldness. I love this. Verse 43 says, awe came upon every soul. Like, people were, wow. Look at these guys. This is an uncommon way to live that will grab the attention of your culture, and they will be awe-inspired by your life. They might not come to know Christ, not saying that they will, but they're going to be like, wow. Christian, these six things are how we should be known for this summer. So many of us, like, we're known for our fighting and what we're resisting and what we're not agreeing with. And when it comes to moral issues, for sure, do it. Take a stand for righteousness. Hold true to God's word. But listen, we shouldn't be known for fighting over, like, things of no eternal weight and value that are opinion-oriented, and all they do is inhibit the mission. And in the meantime, our culture is going straight to hell in a handbasket. But man, everybody knows where I am politically. Everybody knows my priority. Listen, Acts 2 is where we need to be. You can have your opinions politically. I don't care. I've got mine. I've got a lot of opinions politically. I wanted to be a political science major my freshman year at college. I've got opinions. But opinions create division, and they don't enhance the mission. What enhances the mission is when we live vertically, because when we live vertically, there is going to be a horizontal urgency. Did you get that? When you live vertically, there is going to be a horizontal urgency, and people are going to come to Christ. And it says in Acts 2:47, these people, this church had favor with all the people. All the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day. Hey, listen. Don't you want to see the Lord add day by day to his kingdom? Do you want that? Like, convince me that you want that. Do you want that? Yeah, we want that. That's why you're here. I know. We want that. But so often we have mission drift, and we forget, like, what am I even doing? And we look forward to the summer, and it's like, hey, man, it's summertime. So this summer, make the decision make the decision, the important decision, to do Spirit-filled mission. Ezekiel 36, 27. This is your promise. Let me read it over to you. I'm going to pray it over you. Let me pray this over you with your heads bowed, and then we'll worship. Father, this is your promise to us from your prophet. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Holy Spirit, will you do that in us this summer? We don't want to be distracted. We're looking forward to the summer, and we're going to rest and we're going to relax. We're going to be refreshed. But we want to see your kingdom grow. So Holy Spirit, work in us, work within us, so that we walk in your ways, so that your kingdom will grow.